Blog Talk Radio.
I sit at the feet of kings in the morning, in the dawn of my rise. In comes with the blessed and most learned leaders, godly and wise. Just imagine sitting in the council of righteous kings. Thousands of years condemned in a written testimony. Yow, sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, an amazing grace I swept over the land. Hallelujah, sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, the Messiah in woman and man. Hallelujah. Now understanding that which was not known, thought it was me, but there were angels all around. The more I learn, I see how much I don't really know. Came into my life and shake the negative down, blessing me with strength when my weakness is above. These angels, the real people I man I know, the offerings of the righteous, the God's inspired word. So I give unto thee thanks and praises. Sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, an amazing grace I swept over the land. Hallelujah, sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, the Messiah in woman and man. Hallelujah, and so me sing with joy, counting my blessings, yeah, yeah. One way is life, no blood. Full grace, full deliverance can be our destiny. For in this life we burn. Beginning of which is the Almighty, yeah, yeah. A blessing for all mankind. A proverbial stand, clear for all we to see. Sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, an amazing grace I swept over the land. Hallelujah, sing a song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, the Messiah in woman and man. Hallelujah. In the morning, while I'm waking, giving praises, silent talking, conversing in my mind, trying to be real and honest with me, giving time, getting set in my way, in my prayer, in this day, yeah. Now look back, for here come it with that, extolling, a God bless deliverance, pray. Sing that song of a rejoicing man, yeah. Hallelujah, an amazing grace, I swept over the land. Hallelujah, sing that song of a rejoicing man, yeah.
I pray that you uplift the hearts and the minds of those who hear, that we may all receive your divine instruction, that it be engraved upon our hearts, upon our minds, that it give us the power we need to not be conformed to this world or its system, but rather according to your word, that we may all be transformed by the renewing of our mind. These things Abba, we present to you, Meshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Ms. Pekar. Shabbat shalom. And all praise, glory, honor, adoration, exaltation be to our Heavenly Father and to our Savior and our Redeemer, Yahushua HaMashiach. I want to first apologize to Morey Shabbat, because I was informed that the Morey scheduled to teach today would not be available, but I got caught up doing other things and it slipped my mind to give him a call and I did not remember until earlier today. So I didn't want to put that on him at short notice, so I didn't set up the program for him to teach, and Abba gave me a word, so I took the baton and here we are. Now, the thought that Abba gave to me, oh, before I even do that, am I coming through clear? I want to make sure everybody can hear me. You know, it's funny because I don't do blog talk or radio too often. Okay, I just got a thumbs up, whatever. But funny how when you don't do things as often as you used to, you forget to do stuff. Because now it's on and on. I was supposed to do another blessing. But so be it. And I hear it done every week. But anyway, my apologies for not saying that blessing. Let me do that right now. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered the truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Torah, Moshe's his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Once again, the thought that Abba gave me this morning, and it's connected to a conversation that couple brothers and I had, as I sent out a text earlier this week, Brother Mike, Morey, Chanich Al, and myself, we had an opportunity to go to the Sight and Sound up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to see Moses, which was, again, it's a very good place for those who are interested. Take an opportunity to go out there and see it. Now, I've been talking about, and, you know, when my wife was alive, we had actually talked about going to see some plays for years. Never got around to doing it. Now I regret it even more so because of seeing one and seeing how the production is. It was really well done. You know, I really enjoyed it. And I was gave me some thoughts, you know, but we'll talk about that at the next opportunity I would give me, according to his will, to bring forth a message for the Dura Rasha, or Torah portion, okay? But we had a discussion, and from that discussion, I was gave me a thought, and this thought is called blessings and curses, okay? Now, I listed this as part one. In case another opportunity should present itself, where I have to step up and stand in for a Murei who may be unable to bring forth the word for whatever the reason may be. We'll touch on part two. But today is going to be part one, okay? Blessings and curses. And during that conversation, we you know how it is when brothers talk, and I'm sure when sisters talk, y'all experience the exact same thing. So when we talk, the conversation can go from one thing to another thing to this. So there were a lot of different things that were discussed. But one of those, we talked, one of the thoughts that we were discussing was about success and prosperity. You know, because I was sharing with them a movie that I had seen recently. And I apologize for not being able to remember this movie. But what it was about a father who was a minister, and he had the prosperity ministry. Now, the father wasn't really shown too much in the movie. It was one of the sons. So this father, he had two sons. And the older son did not want to go through and carry on that message because he disagreed with it, whereas the younger son, he did. You know, but eventually, if the two of them, they came together, and the younger son, who was teaching the prosperity ministry, came to the realization that that message was not sent from the Most High, and it was based on a carnality. But anyway, we were talking about prosperity and the different things that the world views as what was successful or what is unsuccessful. So again, the thoughts that Ira gave me, it's in connection to, you know, what we were discussing, as well as some other thoughts that Ira gave in the course of leading and guiding through his word. So blessings and curses, this is part one. The first passage Ira gave me, as he takes you on a journey. You know, we discussed this before. I believe we discussed it numerous times, not only myself, but I'm certain that several other Morei have also mentioned in their teaching how when it comes to the Torah, whenever we embark upon this walk or this way of life, we begin a journey. Keep that in mind, okay? Now, our journey, now what's interesting about it is this. Our journey of walking in the Torah actually begins at the time we conceived. If you can receive that. And what I mean by that, we'll touch on as we go through the lesson today. See, our journey doesn't just start at the time that we are introduced to the Torah or we are introduced to Yahushua. It doesn't begin then, because when we look at our lives, as we have often discussed, going back, looking through the various experiences, as a matter of fact, I believe the Morei in the Sabbath even teaching touched on some of his personal experiences and what it is that he has learned about himself. Well, life in general is for that purpose. There's a song that we used to listen to, not used to, but still listen to. I know it's still on my playlist. It's called Life a Lesson. And that's exactly what it is. So even before we come to the knowledge of the Torah or Yahushua, our walk with the Most High begins. And let me add to that pertains to every individual, and as we go through the word today, we'll see exactly what is meant by that. What I was about to say, we embark on a journey. So as he was taking me on the journey in preparation for today's message, he takes you back to the beginning. You know, this is a point that Morei Shabbat often likes to reiterate, going back to the beginning. And what he likes to do, he likes to walk you through. Because whenever it comes to learning, for those of you who are familiar from the perspective of sitting and learning, or those who are familiar from the aspect of even teaching, there is a process to everything that we do. There are steps that need to be taken. So, let's do this. I wish I was sitting in front of y'all because I really like to ask y'all questions. But anyway, when it comes to understanding the Torah, Abba gave us four pillars, right? These four pillars are, number one, inspiration of the word by the Most High. Number two, inspiration of the teacher by the Most High. Number three, entrusting the word to Israel by the Most High. And number four, utilization of Hebrew or Ivri as the chosen language to reveal said word. All of these are very important. And I mentioned that just to reiterate the fact that when it comes to Abba's word, Abba knows the direction that we need to go. He knows the path we need to take. So if we allow him to lead us, to guide us, I believe one of the prophets wrote, that we should acknowledge Elohim in all our ways, and he will direct your path. Matter of fact, there's a song that we have included in the praise and worship. We haven't learned it yet, but at some point we will. It's one of my favorite songs. And let me say this to somebody here. If any of you have any songs that you like to be added to the praise and worship book, by all means, let us know. And I think that was missing before, but I'm just reiterating it now, because I heard another song recently that I also want to add to that book. Matter of fact, last Shabbat, for the opening of Shavuot teaching, the song was played. Now, albeit that was not the version I was looking for, but that was the only version I could find, and it's called Hosanna. It's a pretty song, and I will, and I'll let y'all hear that at some point, and you know, you'll see, maybe not. You know, when it comes to music, it's subjective. For me personally, I like the song. I think it's a pretty song, pretty melody, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, there's a song that has been added to the Praise and Worship book. It's called Order My Steps in Your Word. Now, let's add to that. Acknowledge Abba in all your ways. He shall direct your path. And then he says in another place, order my steps in your word. Right? So when he says that, we can apply that to how we live. Order my steps in your word in the sense of us living according to his word. But we don't have to limit that passage to just meaning that. That passage can also refer to how he orders our steps. In other words, talking about the process that we go through to learn his word. There's an order to it. Matter of fact, for those who have been sitting with Yahweh for some time, you may remember our beloved rabbi teaching that there are even specific scriptural references that he called keys. And what these keys are capable of doing, they are capable of opening up the word for you so that you can see further, as he also liked to say. What Abba did took me back to the first passage that we find the term blessed. So our focal point today will be blessings. Okay? And that will be in Bereshit, which is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 22, which is very interesting. And I say it's interesting in light of a text that Brother Abby sent out earlier, a revelation that he received. And I'm not going to get into the revelation so much, but this passage that I'm about to read comes on the heels of that revelation he got. So it says, Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Now, here's a question, food for thought. Why did he say this to the creatures that fly in the air and the creatures that swim in the water? Why did he say that? Put that on the table for y'all to think about, and Abba will. You may want to research it and ask him some things about that yourself. I don't want to get too far into it because I don't want to go too far off the course that we're currently on. Okay? But this is the first time that the word blessed was used. So we're introduced to that word right here. And it's introduced or reintroduced in the following passage. We can go down to verse 27, still Genesis chapter 1. Elohim created man in his own image. In Elohim's image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Elohim blessed them. Okay. Elohim said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So what we see, what we can deduce by comparing now let me add this to it. Some other pillars that Abba gave us. And sometimes I know it may be confusing to some. Hopefully it's not. If you've been following and you've been paying attention and you've been doing your own study at your convenience, of course, you have the one list, four pillars to understanding the Torah, which I just mentioned. Now, the second list are four pillars to studying the Torah. And the first one is being able to accept what the word says literally, being able to accept that Abba set his word up so that we can compare, similarities as we are about to do. We also have a metaphorical or allegorical aspect to the word, but all of that is tied together by what we refer to as the spirituality of the word, which goes back to the first pillar in understanding the Torah that all scripture was given by inspiration of Elohim. It's his word. In other words, once we can accept that it's his word, we have to now humble ourselves and we have to seek guidance from the Most High so that he, by his spirit, will lead and guide us to all truth, just like the Messiah said. He said it was expedient that he goes away. He said, when I go away, I'm going to send the comforter. What did he say the comforter was? He said that the comforter was the Holy Spirit. And he said, when he, the comforter, teach you, he also said, he will bring back to your remembrance what I have taught you. He also said that he, the Holy Spirit, will lead and guide you to all truth. What is the truth? He said what that was too. He said to sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So when we have the Holy Spirit has one of them, is to lead and guide us through our word. Abba, by his spirit, connected his word for us so that we see not what man thinks, so that we understand how he thinks, because it's his word. It's his. It belongs to him. And we are learning. We are students. That's why that's often mentioned. I'm a Bible student. I'm not a Bible scholar. I am a Bible student and a Bible believer. I believe these things that Abba has written, in spite of what I go through personally. That's my flaws, being a human being. I believe what Abba wrote. So he took me to the beginning. So after this initial blessing, right, this blessing of life upon all humanity, we see a similarity. When he blessed in verse 22 and when he blessed in verse 28, it was followed by be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Question is why? Again, food for thought. Sometimes questions are going to be asked for the simple purpose of getting you all to think about some things. Sometimes questions are going to be asked and an answer provided, as Abba wills it. Okay? Now, based on these passages, one thought that we can deduce from that is that all life which Abba created through Yahweh Elohim has been blessed. Now think about that. All living beings, right? Anything that has life has been blessed by Abba. So if you are a human being and you are alive and you are breathing today, what you have in you is the blessing that Abba gave to you. Keep that in mind. So when we think about that initial blessing, which we all have, again, being life itself or our existence, what exactly does the term blessing mean? Because this is what we want to know. When we talk about various terms in Holy Scripture, that's why when it comes to the language, when it's about pillars, right? It's very important that we go back to Ivri or that we go back to Hebrew. Let me reiterate again. Does not mean that you have to become a Hebrew scholar. Does not even mean that you have to start speaking the Hebrew language fluently. If you choose to learn Hebrew to speak it fluently, that's a choice. As I shared with somebody recently, I don't study the Hebrew language so that I can speak it fluently. The only reason I personally study the Hebrew language is because I want to understand what I was saying in his original language. That's it. That way, when you go back to the original manuscript, and you see certain things, Once you become familiar with the Hebrew vocabulary, certain stuff starts to jump out at you. Okay? So, the word translated as blessing, it comes from the Hebrew lexicon number 1288. The word is barak, barak. Okay? It's a primitive root, meaning that it will fall under the category of an adopted root. When we go back to the idea of parent roots, and we're going to look at the parent root in a moment, the parent root of every Hebrew word is a two-letter word or a biliteral root, okay? But this term, barak, it means to kneel. Think about that. It says, by implication, to bless. Elohim as an act of adoration. And what it means in that context is this. Matter of fact, speaking of which, I believe earlier today that Prince Charles has just had his coronation, and now he can be officially referred to as King Charles, right? Now, one of the things that's supposed to happen whenever you go before the presence of a king, it is customary to bow. So when it says that, it's in the aspect of the Most High being a king. So it says, by implication, to bless Elohim as an act of adoration. So in other words, you kneel before the Most High, which is why kneeling or bowing is a part of the worship. Now, we're going to talk about worship at some point in the near future, our willing, okay? But it also says, and vice versa, man as a benefit. So just as we kneel before the Most High as an act of adoration, that's what it's saying when it says that Abba blesses us. That means, or that implies, he kneels before us, but not in the sense of paying us honor or respect. He kneels before us because he is giving us something. It says the word derives from the noun knee, and perhaps suggests the bending of the knee and blessing. Its derived meaning is to bless someone or something. The bending at the knee to drink from a pond or present a gift. So in other words, think about it. Once again, when we receive blessings from Abba, it's as if he bends a knee to present us with a gift. This is what's happening. So what took place when he blessed Adam and Hawa? Let's look at a couple other things. So the parent root for this term is the bet and the resh. Now, we should be familiar with this in previous studies, okay? The bet, which we understand to be a picture of a tent, but it also has the connotation of the family which resides in the tent. How so? Because we look at the letter bet and how it's even used grammatically in the Hebrew language. You can put the bet at the beginning of a word as a prefix, and it means in. So the letter bet has one of its connotations being in. And typically speaking, what if the family is in the tent? That's how it connects now to the family. Okay? Another thought. The next letter is the resh. The resh is a picture of a head of a man. So when you put these two words together, you have family of heads, okay? Now, you look at plant families and you look at your grains, right? Wheat, barley, et cetera. They have a cluster of seeds at the top, and they refer to those cluster of seeds as the heads. Matter of fact, when you look at the term, the bet and the resh, there are three other words that you can derive from that. One being grain and field, as a place for growing grain. Secondly, you can look at soap, which is made from the ashes of the grain stalk. Also, you have clean. Clean in regard to cleanliness from soap. So when you think about cleanliness from soap, not only looking at it from a physical standpoint, but also from a spiritual standpoint, to be pure as moral cleanliness. Keep those things in mind. So when we take that into consideration, right? Now, going back to the idea of the grain, because the word bet resh, when you add the aleph to the end, guess what you just did? You have made the word bara, which in the beginning says bereshit bara, in the beginning created or in the beginning filled. That's another way of translating that word, but because what Abba actually did and created, he filled. What did he fill? One of the things that we talked about before. Abba, as well as his word, exists outside of space, time, and matter. Okay? When this physical realm was created, now he filled it with what? He filled it with what he created. So it's that there's the idea of to fill in connection with the bet and the rest. So now when you add the cost to it, which forms the word barak, you have to fill the palm. Now think about that. What is it that he did when he created humanity? He filled us with life. Now let's understand about that life that he gave us, because that in and of itself is a blessing. Sometimes it doesn't seem as though it is because of the difficulty we may experience, and I'm speaking personally. But once we can rise above seeing things according to our carnality, we can then appreciate how much of a blessing life is. Matter of fact, if I could just add something to that, right? Let's turn to Yuchanan. This is the Gospel of John, right? And let's go to chapter 3. It's something that the Messiah said, right? And just to give you the whole scope, I'm going to start at verse 1 and just read them. It says, now there was a man of the Perushim, or Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Yahudim. The same came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, or Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from Elohim, for no one can do these signs that you do unless Elohim is with him. Yahushua answered him, most certainly, I tell you, unless one is born anew, he can't see Elohim's kingdom. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yahushua answered, most certainly I tell you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he can't enter into Elohim's kingdom. Right there, John chapter 3, verse 5. When he says that, you know what he's actually saying? Unless a person is brought into existence. That's what he means. See, the only way we have an opportunity to even become a part of Elohim's kingdom, we must first exist as a human being. Existing as a human being means this, that you are a physical being who dwells in the physical realm, but guess what? This realm isn't strictly physical. You know why? Because we have life in us, and that life is the breath that Elohim has given us, or the spirit that Elohim has given us. So when you look at humanity, humanity is a combination of both physical and spiritual. Now here's how that works. When you think about the five senses, which Moray Bilal did a beautiful teaching of several weeks ago, when you look at the senses and how they work, with our senses, right, what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch, all pertains to the physical realm. That is how we were designed to acquire knowledge, information. But what Moray Bilal brought forth is that each of these senses, guess what they have? They had a spiritual connotation. You know why? Because, as Brother Shaul said, for we know that the Torah is spiritual. So everything that we understand on this physical, in the physical realm, guess what? It ties to something spiritual. Why? Because we are both physical and spiritual because of this mind that we possess, okay? Which is a blessing, as we learn. Okay, so when we think about life itself being that blessing, and all humanity possessing life having been blessed, what then does it mean to receive a blessing during this existence? And think about that. If we have life, we're already blessed. I don't care if you're part of the seed of the serpent or the seed of Elohim. If you have life, you have been blessed. That means, again, we have the opportunity to be partakers of the kingdom of Elohim. Okay? But what else does that mean for us? So let's go to Bereshit again. In Genesis chapter 12 and the start of verse 1. Because something is about to happen here. When we come to Abraham, something else occurs. So, he says in verse 1, now Yahweh said to Abram, leave your country and your relatives and your father's house and go to the land that I will show you. Now, you can put your finger right there. And you can turn to Hebrews or Ivrit, chapter 11 and verse 8. And we want to make a comparison there. Because another thought before I move on. Another thought. Abba in his word, right? By his word. And we talked about this before as well. Once again, repetition. This is how we learn. When we look at the Bible or, you know, the 66 books with the inclusion of particular apocryphal books, we are not just talking about a single work in the sense like people say a book. We're talking about a library. We're talking about several scrolls that were written by several different men throughout the course of time, at a specific time, of course. But all of these, going back to our pillars for understanding, have been inspired by the Most High. He created a word, a library of information, which is self-contained. And why I am emphasizing that is because when it comes to understanding Abba's word, we don't really have to go outside of the word. Everything we need is self-contained, as I just mentioned. It's here already. So let's look at what we see or what we learn in Hebrews 11 and verse 8. That by faith, something is being added now. Okay? Something is being expounded upon now. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out to the place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he went. Listen to that. Let's go back to Genesis 12:1. It says, now, Yahweh said to Abraham, leave your country and your relatives and your father's house and go to the land that I will show you. What we have to glean from that, this is a command that Abba is given to Abraham. It says, if you do that, what I just told you to do, and keep in mind, he didn't know where he was going, but guess what he did? He did it anyway. He says in verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. Abraham being made into a great nation centered on him doing what he was commanded to do in verse 1. Okay? In addition to that, listen to what he said. He said, again, verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. You hear that? Well, Abraham has life. He already has been blessed. The fact that he exists shows that he's been blessed because he has the blessing of the breath and the spirit of life. Right? Something else is about to happen, though. He's building. Okay? Now, let's go back to something else we've been talking about, growth and development. What the world has done to the Bible, they have taken the Bible. Let's imagine they've boxed it up, they've closed it up, and said, this is it. Here it is. As if this is all we have. This is all we're going to get. So whatever is here, we have to do it this way. We have to do it that way, depending on who's doing the explaining, of course. And we'll touch on that a little later, maybe. My point in mentioning that, Abba's word is constantly growing and constantly developing. Think about the seed. And now ask the question, why does he give a parable and he compares the word to a seed? a seed constantly grows. It never stops. Matter of fact, I got a plant outside of my front yard. My mother-in-law gave it to my wife and I years ago, right? And don't you know, every year, like clockwork, this plant comes up, beautiful little plant, comes up, I mean, it goes through the process, and at some point, fall, winter comes, it dies, and guess what? It comes right back up in the spring, every year. That's what a seed does. It goes through, again, a process. Abba's word goes through a process. And I'm mentioning that because even though we understand that being given life or existence is a blessing, guess what? Growth, development. There's more to attain in regard to being blessed. So let's go back. He says, part of the blessing that he's going to bestow upon him is being made into a great nation. He says, I will bless you and make your name great. And he did that. Now, why, here's the question for us, why was this blessing bestowed upon Abraham? So let's go to our library. Let's go to another writing from another prophet. And let's go to Galatians, a letter that Brother Shaul wrote to the assembly in Galatia. Okay? And go down to chapter 3 and verse 6. And he writes, he says, even as Abraham believed Elohim, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You know that? So now we're learning something else. In addition to having the blessing of life, we can attain more blessing from the Most High if we believe. Now that brings faith into the picture. But listen to this. Here's another question. Who qualifies to receive the blessings from Abba? These in particular, right? So let's continue. Let's go down to Galatians chapter 3 and pick up in verse 7. He says, know therefore that those who are of faith, those who are of faith. Stop right here for a moment. Let's just marinate on that for a bit. Just marinate on it enough to come to the realization it is our faith that the opponent is working to destroy. It is our faith. Okay? He says, know therefore that those who are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Listen to that. Remember what he said to him. He said he was going to make him a great nation. Now, about Israel, because we understand, we already know that much, that Israel is that nation. But let's look at it like this, too. See, Israel, and to be an Israelite, you actually wear several hats. Foremost, and I believe most importantly, Israel is a family. Okay? Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. Jacob has 13 children, 12 of which form the 12 tribes or 12 branches or 12 extensions forming the family of Israel, which later becomes the nation of Israel, which also includes now the assembly or the church of Israel, all the same. That's different titles depending on how you're looking at this. We look at it from a political landscape, Israel is a nation. We're looking at it from a religious landscape, Israel is the church, the true church. Okay? So, he says, again, know therefore that those who are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The scripture foreseeing that Elohim would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the good news beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you all the nations will be blessed. We're going to get to that in a moment. So then, though human being, whether you're on the seed of the serpent side or whether you're on the seed of Elohim side, has been blessed. What's the difference? We just found out. Those who fall under the category of the seed of the serpent do not believe in Abba. They do not believe in his word. And that is what makes the difference. The opponent has affected their faith in Abba and in Abba's word, which is why they still fall under that categorization. Pray that everybody's following along. Now, when it comes to faith, once again, it is a necessary component to receive additional blessing from Abba. So we go to Hebrews, once again, chapter 11, verse 6, which reads, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him. For he who comes to Elohim must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Bet Yahweh, let me ask y'all a question. Do we believe? And I'm asking this for a reason. Now, we've been going back and forth about this, and I'm not going to belabor this point. I just want to mention it in passing, and I'm going to keep it moving because we want to go through as much of this as Abba allows. About getting a place, right? Question is this. Do we believe Abba can provide that place, right? Do we believe that? Because that's all it really takes. Now, here's where the discrepancy is going to come in when we get into the reality of it all, right? And I will be setting up the congregational meeting soon. I just need to meet with the officials again first. But we will touch on it. So when it comes to us getting this place, right, some of us may have reservations about what we're able to contribute. Looking at it from the perspective of taking from your household and not maybe being able to take care of your household as a result. But if we believe Abba can do these things, what makes you think that he would allow you to lose anything that he's already given you when you are doing something to make sure we have a place to sanctify his name? Why would he do that? Why would he allow you to lose that because you're trying to support something for him? And I just want to leave that right there for y'all, food for thought. Think about it. Meditate on it. Pray about it. See? Because that's been the holdup. As we were reminded recently. And Rabbi, our beloved Rabbi, told us this years ago. Whenever Beth Yahweh won a place, Beth Yahweh can get a place. Period. We can get it. We limit what Abba is capable of doing. We do that. He's not limited. Abba's first creation was the word, which he refers to as Yahweh Elohim. And through Yahweh Elohim, he created everything in this physical realm, that matter, that space, that time, right? He did all of that through his word. He's been commanded this very same word to take on humanity, to belittle himself to the point, not just, you know, miraculously appearing as a human being, but actually going through the birth canal and being subjected to having flesh and blood like the Son of Man, he referred to himself as. Then commanded this very same word to be tortured. All for the sake of becoming a sacrificial lamb so that we can be saved. And I'm only reiterating something that our beloved rabbi taught us years ago. If Abba did that, do you think he got a problem providing us with a place? Really? We limit Abba. We want to see something as we go along. We got to understand who it is we serve. See, and what happens again, the opponent, he affects that. Let's keep moving. Look at this. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him. For he who comes to Elohim must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Pay attention. Now let's go to Yeshayahu or Isaiah chapter 51. Let's follow through on some other things, right? He says, verse 1, says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. Now when he says that, here's another point we want to touch on. When it comes to Holy Scripture, when it comes to the Word, and when I say this, I'm going to explain if anybody has any questions about it. The Word of Yah was written for Israel. When I say that, I'm not saying, what you mean? That means that nobody else could read the Word, nobody else could study the Bible. That's not what he's saying. Listen to what he said. He says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. Listen to what else he follows that word. He says, you who seek Yahweh. Now, very important that we understand something here. When it comes to Holy Scripture, there are people out there teaching Holy Scripture, right? But after hearing these teachings, who do people follow? If you're teaching the Word, right? You say you teach the Bible, and you're teaching the Bible, of your teaching, the result is not people turning to Yahweh. What did you just turn people to? You understand what I'm saying? If I teach the Word, you know, like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who oftentimes likes to quote Scripture, but at the end of hearing, you know, such charismatic speech, I turn to Allah and not to Yahweh. What benefit is that? Or if I'm a number of Christian ministers in the world today who oftentimes have very powerful and pertinent messages for their followers. If at the end of hearing that preaching, I turn to Jesus or to Jehovah and not to Yahweh, what benefit is it if I have not turned to the possessor of the heavens and the earth? But I turn to one of the guises of the opponent. You understand what I'm saying? So when he says this, he says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. We're going to see what that is in the book. You who seek Yahweh, look to the rock cut from and to the quarry you were dug from. And I find it interesting that the Mosaic who brought forth the Word that evening, that's what happened to mention how each of us are lively stones. And this is a reference to the Creator himself. You know why? Because every human being has been cut from him. How? Because we have his breath in us, which allows us to be able to think and to logically reason and to make decisions. So when you think about a lot of these cats out there in the world today who come up with all of these logical explanations as to why the Most High doesn't exist, they don't even realize they are utilizing his spirit and his intellect to come up with these doctrines against him. How do you think they're going to feel when they come to the reality? Or maybe the agnostics. They don't necessarily thoroughly deny the existence of the Most High. What they say is, well, there's something out there, but we can't have any communication with them. How do you think they're going to feel? When they have deduced based on their sense of reasoning, with the very same spirit Elohim gave to them, that they were wrong this whole time. That he created a way, a word, with the intent and purpose of speaking directly to his people. See? Question is, are you seeking him with your whole heart? Because you can't half step when it comes to that. You got to be all in or it's nothing. So let's make some comparisons now. Let's go to Matthew, which is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. You ever been hungry? You ever been thirsty? Understand what he's saying there. He's utilizing human experience. If you've ever been hungry before, if you've ever been thirsty before, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then guess what he said? For they shall be filled. You know what he just did? He just took us back to the word barak. See? Because it means to fill the hand. That's what it means to be blessed. To fill the hand. You want blessing? Seek righteousness, he said. I believe he said, in addition to that, to seek peace. Right? In another place, Devarim, with Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 8, his brother Moshe, he says, what nation is there? What great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this Torah? See? In other words, let's do this. Let's go back up. He says, let's go back up to Isaiah 51 and verse 1. Listen to me, you who follow after the Torah. Let's go back to Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after the Torah. You understand? He says, what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this Torah which I set before you today? In other words, there's something that is going to follow our seeking the Torah where he is. You know what it's like? You ever seen these movies, cartoons, et cetera, maybe TV shows, and somebody has a treasure map, right? And they looking for, you know, this bounty of wealth. Well, you know what? The word is our treasure map. And the bounty of wealth that we're seeking for is none other than Abba himself. That is the bounty of wealth. So he continues. I'm going to start in verse 1 again, and we'll read down through verse 2. He says, listen to me, you who follow after the Torah, you who seek Yahweh. Look to the rock you were quarried, you were dug from. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For when he was but one, I called him, and I blessed him, and made him many. In other words, you know what he just said? I gave you an example of my capabilities. Why do you think I inspired Brother Moshe to write the narrative of Abraham for you to be able to go back to read and to study so that you can learn how I move? That's what he's telling us. Why do you think we go through this ancient book every week? It's a treasure map. Think about what one of the other prophets wrote. When he said that Yahushua left us an example that we should follow after his footsteps. In other words, hey, the word that I gave to you, yeah, with me. I'm the one who spoke through and moved upon these prophets. The word that I gave to you is a treasure map, and where it's going to lead you is to Abba. So here, I know how to get there. Walk with me and follow me whithersoever the treasure. That's what he did. That's the intent and purpose of all that he's laid out for us. But what happens sometimes, the opponent now gets involved. And what he does, he distracts us. How does he distract us? Because we're still physical. We're still part of the physical world, and sometimes this flesh gets an itching, like a fiend, you know. You often see when people portray being an addict, and I'm not only just playing or portraying, when you actually see an addict, they're itching for whatever it is, there's another choice. They're itching for it. The body is craving for it, and sometimes that happens to us. We crave what the physical world has to offer. We crave it enough, the opponent, he watches. Matter of fact, that's what a teacher recently, I'm not sure if people follow along with the YouTube teachers, but when it comes to these different birds, when he starts to listen, right, you get to this one bird. He said, ba, ya, ana, right? Now, it's talking about the ostrich. But when you get into that term, ya'anah, it comes from another term, ya'an, which means to pay attention to heed. In essence, what Abba is teaching us, there is an unclean spirit whose responsibility it is. We look at the minions of unclean spirits or demonic entities who serve under the opponent. This particular spirit has the task of observing us, watching us, taking notes to find out what our weaknesses is, reporting back to the opponent so that the proper spirit will now be sent out, person distracted from the Torah and from Allah. Okay? It's systematic, everything that the opponent does. Very systematic, just like we have the term in our world today, systematic racism. Well, guess what else is systematic? Doubt. Systematic. But anyway, let's continue. He says, now, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 12, right? Now, when we think about Abraham's blessing, what he just listened, he says, and I blessed him and made him many. This is in Isaiah 51:2. What we're learning now is that even this blessing still has a similarity to the initial blessing given to humanity. But even with that, something else is happening. So when we go back to Genesis 12 and verse 2, he says, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you will be a blessing. Not only are we learning that through our faith, we will be blessed by the Most High, but through our faith, guess what else happened? We now become a blessing. Think about that. We become a blessing. Why is that? Now think about this in this context too. And I think the Mouvre who taught Chad this evening, he touched on something along these lines as well. When we receive the Holy Spirit, right? Now, what the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Himself. So he gives us a piece of the world. We understand who the Messiah is in the beginning with the Word. The Word was with Elohim. The Word was Elohim. And then you drop down to a few more verses. He says, and the Word was made flesh. So the Word by whom Abba created all things, right, became, of course, in the past, it was referred to as Yahweh Elohim, which we just mentioned a moment ago, became flesh. It was called Yahushua HaMashiach. Right? So when we receive the Ruach HaKodesh, it is the Spirit of His Son. So we all have a piece of the Word, the living Word. You mean to tell me the very same creative power that brought all this into being, part of that dwells in us? So not only do we have the Spirit of life when we become an Israelite, we also have the divine intellect. You see? We have a part of the divine spirit. See? There's another place where one of the prophets wrote, he said that the Ruach HaKodesh has conversations with our spirit. See, our spirit already is a blessing because we have life, we have existence, but now we're getting another spirit. And what this spirit does, it bestows upon us sanctity. You know what? It establishes, for lack of a better way of saying it, Godhood. See? Think of it like the God gene. Now we begin a process of becoming just like Yahushua. Think about that. Anyway, let's move on. He says in verse 3, listen to what he said. Now, as a result of us being a blessing, he said, I will bless those who bless you. Listen to that. Now, it's going to affect our relationships. Anybody who does good at that blessing, anybody who does good to us, guess what? They're going to be blessed for that. We have examples in Holy Scripture. Matter of fact, they don't even have to go to Holy Scripture. Y'all remember when we was at that hotel? And we seen blessings. You seen it on the come up. All the way up until the time when COVID happened. Then it was time for us to make our departure. But we saw things happening there. Now, I shared a story of somebody last week, matter of fact, about a stranger who visited us years ago. Don't know how he found out about us. I just remember he came, sat in service for the whole service. He came like before service started, sat throughout the whole service, and after service, he caught me up in the hallway and shared with me his thoughts. And what he basically said is that he can tell that the spirit of Elohim is in this assembly. And he talked about how blessed he was. And then he left, and that was the last of it. Never saw him again. But anyway, he said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who treats you with contempt. So people have to be mindful. Now, let's look at it this way. That we need to be careful how we deal with people because we may entertain angels unaware, right? Now, all an angel simply is a messenger by the Most High. If you are an Israelite, guess what you automatically become? A messenger. Well, how can you say that? Now, let's look at it on a grand scale, right? When you go through the Psalms, I believe we read this every week, if I'm not mistaken. He says in one place, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm, right? So when he says that, he's not just talking about specific people. He's talking about the whole nation. Matter of fact, that's to build on that thought. He refers to Israel as being a holy nation, a royal priesthood. So when we look at it from that perspective, the whole nation. Now let me clarify. I'm not just talking about biological Israel, and I hope that people who have been walking with us for some time know that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Israel of Yah. We're talking about the Israel that meets the criteria of obedience to the Torah and the faith and testimony of Yahushua. Those are the criteria that have to be met in order for someone to become an Israel of Yah. Okay? Everything connected, man. Don't forget about the previous teachings. And when the new teachers come about, you're just adding, remember, building, growth, development, okay? So when it comes to being an Israelite, you are a messenger. So people have to be mindful of how they interact with you, because they don't know you are a messenger. Malachim. They may be unaware of that. See? Now the term Malachim does not just refer to the celestial beings that we refer to as angels. We are all angels, because in our life, you know what the message is that we all convey? Torah. How we live conveys a message. And then if our present an opportunity, we can share that message by word of mouth. But before we utter a word, our life alone is supposed to be speaking to anybody who comes around. So people need to be mindful, because that's what he said. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those, see, who treat you with contempt. But now we're going to find something else out. Listen to what he said. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now he's talking about Abraham, but what we also understand is this blessing was conveyed to Isaac, and this blessing was conveyed to Jacob. I didn't put all those scriptures in there, but if you've been walking with us for some time, you know he told them that the exact same thing. And guess who else it was conveyed to? If it went from Abraham to Isaac, if it went from Isaac to Jacob, guess who else it went to? The 12 tribes. Our beloved rabbi taught us years ago, right? When Abraham was blessed, his entire being was blessed. So much so, even Ishmael. He said, look, you ain't got to worry about Ishmael. He's going to be blessed. He said, 12 princes is going to come from him. He said, but my covenant I'm going to establish with Isaac. That's the word. Ishmael was still blessed. Guess what else? He comes along and has 6 more sons with the young woman, Keturah. Guess what? They were also blessed because they came from Abraham, who was blessed. I believe that's a teaching. It says, whatever you bless is blessed forever. See? Remember, we learned about this. In the Midbar, in the wilderness, or Numbers, right? When Balak summoned Balaam, and he wanted him to curse Israel. He tried a few times. Ultimately, he did succeed because of something that he did. And he was punished for that. But before that success, he came to the realization, you cannot curse what Abba has blessed. But here's the thought, or rather the question. How many of us believe that? Poland can get you to stop believing that by any form of distraction. He got you. He just opened up something, and now he's going to slide on in, and he's going to take advantage of your weakness, your frailty, whatever that may be. For different people, there are different weaknesses, okay? He said, let's see the kind of time we got here. Okay, let's start to close this up. He said, let's go now to Galatians chapter 3 once again, because with this last clause, when it says all the families of the earth will be blessed through you, he is now conferring a promise. So the blessing that Abraham received also carries with it a promise. We already read in Covenant Again. All stemming from Abraham being blessed. In other words, growing, developing. So in Galatians chapter 3, verse 15, Brother Shaul writes, he says, brothers, speaking of human terms, though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been confirmed, no one makes it void or adds to it. Meaning, once everything is in writing, you can't change it. Unless both parties agree and they tear up whatever that agreement is, they throw it in the fire and they come up with a new one. But once it's set in stone, as they say, once signed on the dotted line, guess what? There's nothing you can do. The agreement is sealed. This is what he's saying here. He goes on to say, verse 16, now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his offspring. Now he's starting to get specific now, Brother Shaul. Remember, he was, as he laid down his pedigree, he said he was a pedashim or Pharisee as touching the Torah. So I'm going to give y'all a little example of what it is that I mean. I understand what that word says. I don't just quote the scripture just for the sake of quoting it. I understand what he meant when he said what he said. So he goes on to give this explanation. That now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his offspring. He doesn't say to descendants as of many. Some of the Bible say seed, plural, as of many. He says, but as of one to your offspring or to your seed, which is Mashiach. So what he did, he fine-tuned that blessing. What I'm going to do, I am going to show you how you're going to be blessed. And this is what I'm going to do. I am going to enter. And you know how he showed us that? He showed us that the word Yahweh Elohim was going to enter. You know how he did that? By the word. Well, of course he did it by the word, right? By the word Yahuda. So what do I mean by that? When you look at the formation of the word, now this goes to comparisons now, okay? Not only can we compare different things in regard to similarities in scripture, we can make comparisons of words and how they have been formed. So when you look at the word Yahuda, it's spelled Yod, He, Vav, Dalet, He. Well, in that name, if you pay attention, and this is why it's important to learn the basis of Hebrew language, meaning let's learn what the letters are. You see the tetragrammaton. You see the Yod, He, teaches you. This name, Yahuda, has a connection to Yod, He, Vav, He. So what's the connection? Okay, so what I'm going to do, all I'm going to do, I'm going to place a dollar there. Why is that significant? Well, see, the dollar is the Hebrew letter that represents a door. Now, it's twofold now. You can look at it in the context that Yahuda is going to be the tribe, see, the branch or the extension from Yaakov or from Jacob that I'm going to come through. But the fact that he puts the dollar there also lets you know this is going to be my doorway or my entrance. Whose doorway? Whose entrance? Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. He's teaching us that. From that, word construction is important, man. That's why we got to go back to those pillars. If we know and we understand and we trust that Abba inspired this word to be written, allow Abba to teach somebody that he's called. And he's showing these things too. And then send them forth and say, now, go, son. Or, go, daughter. And share with my people what I have shared with you. Now, let me make something clear. You may hear me start to say son or daughter. In no way, shape, or form am I going against the order. I want to make that clear because I don't want people to get the wrong idea. Oh, I want to hear that feminism come up. No, you ain't him. Trust me. But when it comes to being a prophet or prophetess, don't use the women. And he's speaking through the women. We just talked about that a few weeks ago. When it comes to the order in regard to women teaching, if he didn't want them to teach the word at all, he wouldn't have given them the spirit of prophecy. Not only that, he even gives them instructions on what they need to do when they pray or prophesy, meaning they're supposed to cover up. But the problem is that you got these women out here teaching, and they ain't covering up because they want to be seen. I would say, come up. I gave you the spirit of prophecy for a reason. But if you're going to speak my word, do it according to my order. And just adding to that, you best won't be doing it in the assembly, among the assembly. When you're there, you sit, you be quiet, and you learn. But when you go out among the other people, by all means, life is an opportunity, and you can share my word. Guess what? Share my word. So when I say son or daughter, I'm coming from that perspective. That's to clarify. Okay? Let's move on. He says, let's make another comparison. Mashiach Yahushua, right? What we just read. When he said, as of many, but he said, he doesn't say to descendants as of many, but as of one, to your offspring, which is Mashiach. So now, Mashiach Yahushua becomes the fulfillment of how Abba blesses the families of the earth. Okay? So let's go to Matithya once again on Matthew chapter 16. Let's go to verse 15. He said, he said to them, he's talking to his students at the time. He wants to know, he wants to get a sense of what people saying about him, what's the talk of the town, right? He said to them, but who do, oh, before I even leave that, he wants to get a sense of what people are saying. So he asked them, who do people say that I am? So they said this, and they said that, et cetera. Now, he turns the question to them. But who do you say that I am? So I can imagine at that point, no different than when a Moray asks a question to the congregation, and the congregation at first, they quiet. Because nobody wants to say the wrong answer. So everybody just be quiet. And then somebody gets the strength. Peace. And a lot of times the answers are correct, to be honest with you. But sometimes when you teach it, your mind is on a particular answer because Abba got you on a particular thought. And this has been expressed to that bad, that's true too, right? I hear you, that's true too. But here's the thought that Abba gave us for this question right now. You know, so don't be afraid to answer the question. Okay? So listen to what he said. He said, Shemun Kepha answered, you are Mashiach, son of the living mighty one. Listen to what Yahushua responds. He said, blessed are you. He said, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What are you teaching us? Do we realize if we can acknowledge Yahushua is the Messiah, the Son of the Living Mighty One, do we realize we blessed for being able to do that? Not everybody can do that. That's a blessing. Listen to what he said. And what we learned years ago, and one of the Moray just reiterated this point. I believe he touched on it last week. It was, again, taught by our beloved rabbi. Hallelujah. Abba did a good job choosing him. And he did an excellent job teaching us. Apparently not. He humbled himself and he allowed himself to be used, and Abba through him has given us a wealth of knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And we always quote him and saying this and saying that. And that's a good thing, because according to the word, we're supposed to give honor where it's due. Even Mashiach Yahushua gave honor where it was due when he gave the eulogy for Yohanan HaMetzavil, John the Baptist. Okay. We were taught well. He said, Yahushua answered him, blessed are you, Shimon bar Yonah, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in the heavens. In other words, if we can acknowledge who Mashiach Yahushua is, guess what? We didn't come to that knowledge because there's something special about us. Abba has opened your eyes and allowed you to see that. That's a blessing. Not everybody can see that. Some people still hung up for Jesus the Christ. And that is a problem. It is. Some people still hung up on that. Some people still hung up on the idea that the Messiah of the New Testament is a falsehood and it doesn't exist. That's a problem. But if you can acknowledge Yahushua, as your Redeemer. Count yourself blessed by the Most High. So now, what we also learn from Holy Scripture, right? Throughout Abraham's life, we see that he was blessed by the Most High, right? But this blessing upon him is confirmed over and over. Because Abraham still had to walk. He still had to live. And he still had to prove himself worthy of that blessing. As do we. We have to prove ourselves worthy of receiving that blessing. See, that's why he says continuing is so important. And if you get a chance, look up the word continue, where he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my student, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look up the word continue. What you're going to find is the exact same word that translates to in another place. He says, abide in me, and I will abide in you. The word translated as abide is the exact same term for continue. This is what Abba wants. Consistency. He wants consistency. He doesn't want somebody to be half-stepping, like that song. Ain't no half-stepping. No half-stepping with Abba. You got to be all in or you're not in at all. See, what people try to do, straddle the fence, that is unacceptable. He said so. I'd rather for you to be hot or cold. If you think you're going to walk with me and be lukewarm, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to spit you out in the mouth. Listen to that. Listen to that. Just meditate on the fact that he even said that. If you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. See, in order for us to be spewed or spat out of his mouth implies that we have to be in him. So if we are in him, we got to be on point. We have to make a decision. Okay? Let's go to Genesis once again. Let's see how this was confirmed, this blessing that is. So in Genesis chapter 14, this is after he goes to rescue his nephew Lot. He says, now, starting in verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Wait, wait, hip, hip. He was priest of El Elyon, or God Most High. He blessed him. Listen to that. Bless Avram. Blessed be Avram of El Elyon, possessor of the heavens. And when you listen to that part, right, the fact that he refers to him as Avram, when he says, of God Most High. Any of our names should be able to be put there. Say a name. Any believer, any Israelite should be connected. Because now, what is it? We are identified with the possessor of the heavens and the earth. So part of our discussion, right, when we were going to and coming from, seeing most, we were talking about blessings. You know, we were talking about prosperity, right? So the thought that Abba put on the table, think about how the world views blessing, and it's always tied into prosperity. So let's look at it from that perspective. You know, having gold, having silver, having money, etc. So this is the thought. Who is the more blessed or the more prosperous, right? The person who possesses gold or silver, or what have you, whatever the standard of wealth is in the world today, or those who possess the creator of gold and silver and whatever else the world possesses. Think about it. Because see, what Abba says, and it's what he says, the world or the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to me. You mean to tell me I have a connection, I have a relationship with the creator of diamonds? That's who I call Abba. That's my father. That's the one who said, ask me and you shall receive. That's the one when the Messiah said, look at the parable of the unjust judge. We talked about that. This unjust judge, he did not fear the Most High. He did not fear man. But this woman kept asking him and asking him. And because this woman was an annoyance to him, I'm going to give you what it is that you want. That's so you can stop asking me for it. If the unjust judge is able to give somebody what they want, how much more will your Heavenly Father? See? He says, you have not because you ask not. Yahweh, do y'all want to build it? Ask Abba. He said, you have not because you ask amiss. That's Yahweh. Y'all want to build it? Ask for the right reason. See, when we ask amiss, that means we ask wrongfully. Is that what we want? We want a place. Because, see, some people have reservations about going out to the park, right? And we had a conversation with a couple of brothers about that recently. And I accept that, you know. And I accept that in this respect, you know. When you think about us in our lives, right, if we've been walking this way for years, and let's say right now, right here, today, at this moment, and you've been walking for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, right, this is the example that I was giving. That means that we had amount of time to grow. And we had an amount of time to see things differently. So you're talking about somebody who just newly come into the faith. They may have a problem coming out to the park. That's not a fault of theirs. Maybe they just have to walk with Abba enough to the point where it's not a problem for them. Some people had a problem with us worshiping in a hotel. That's not a fault. Maybe they just have to walk with the Most High enough to realize that doesn't make a difference either. But what we don't want to do is fault people for not accepting where we are right now, because a lot of times what we do, this person just coming in, we didn't experience some things and we didn't learn some things, so we want to try to put on this person what it is that we've come to the realization of and not consider the fact that it took you 15 to 20 to 25 to 30 years to get there. You ain't walking the door believing that. It took time for you to grow to come to that realization. So what we have to do, allow people time to grow. That's why he says this. To boil the kid in the mother's milk. See? You don't want to do that. Every individual needs the opportunity to grow in their own town. That's it. We can't put on people where we are. And I'm speaking for myself. Trust. The things that you have to go through to get to a certain level of understanding. As a matter of fact, let's go back to something else our beloved rabbi taught. I'm going to shut up in a few minutes, y'all. I ain't going to have no choice in a few minutes. Hold on. If I told y'all everything y'all supposed to do right now, half of y'all, if not all of y'all, will leave. How many of y'all remember when he said that to us? See? As you grow, certain things don't bother you anymore. Whereas if we would have got that information earlier, we right now very well may have left. So what Abba did, he deals with each man, as Brother Shalom brings out in another place, let each man be persuaded in his own mind. Right? So we can extract that clause from the whole idea that's been expressed in Romans chapter 14 And this is what he's talking to every individual. We all have to walk with Abba on our own. We all have to grow to that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding on our own. If I'm trying, think about it in the terms of a child. A child, I'm looking at my granddaughter. She just turned 6 years old. She's only six. I should not expect anything from her beyond what a six-year-old would do. We got to look at people coming into this way in life the same way. Do not expect anything from a six-year-old in the faith, you 20 years old in the faith. You 20 years old. A 20-year-old, you don't expect a six-year-old to function and operate like a 20-year-old. You don't. So we got to look at it from that perspective. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to this so we can get through this blessings and curses part one. And I pray that Abba opens your heart and your mind so that everybody see. So now, it says, Genesis chapter 14, pick it up in verse 18 again. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of the Most High Mighty One. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abba of the Most High Mighty One, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be Elohim Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. Abba gave him a tenth of all. So what we see in here is that Abba's blessing is conferred upon Abraham by Yahweh Elohim through Melchizedek, revealing to him what he intends to do. Now, this is the next passage, right? He says in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, that Yahweh said, will I hide from Abraham what I do? Now, when we look at this particular part, think about this. Here you are. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth, right? And you are reasoning within yourself. You know what you came down here to do. And I like the way, you know, when you go back and you read in Genesis chapter 18, I am coming down here to pour forth judgment on Sodom, Gomorrah, and these other three cities. Because whatever it is that they're doing, the stench has now reached my nostrils, and I've got to deal with this. But since I'm in town, you know, and since I'm so close, let me stop past and see my friend Abraham. So not only am I going to go visit Abraham, because that's my friend, I've got the reason now and think about whether or not I should tell him what I'm here for. Will I hide from Abraham what I do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation? Now, when he said, since he will surely come, it's like it's already decided this man is going to be blessed. He already knows he's going to become a great and mighty nation because of what he has been proving. He's been proving it. He says, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. See? So throughout Abraham's life, again, he underwent several tests to prove his worthiness. His final test, offering Isaac. Okay? So let me go back to Hebrew or Hebrews, right? Chapter 11 and verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. You hear that? When he was tried, and when you're trying somebody, you're doing that with the intent to prove them. Listen what it says. Again, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called, or Yitzchak, accounting that Elohim was able to raise up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. So Abraham had it in his mind, I am going to take my son's life because Abba promised that I'm going to have lineage to him. He must go and resurrect. So he was intent on doing that, right? So now, we know what happened. We know the narrative. We know the story. He said, stay thy hand, right? Then it says in verse 22, in chapter 22, verse 15 of Genesis. Let's go back to that account. It says, Yahweh's angel called to Abraham a second time out of the sky and said, I have sworn by myself, says Yahweh, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that I will bless you greatly. Hold up. What do you mean you will bless him greatly? Didn't you already bless him? Yeah, he was already blessed. But guess what? Throughout Abraham's life, he was being proven. He was being tried. And guess what? With every passing test, he was solidifying blessing for himself and for his offspring. Okay? He says, and that he had received the promises. Oh, I'm sorry. Went back to the wrong one. Let's read Genesis 22:15 again. Yahweh's angel called to Abraham a second time out of the sky and said, I have sworn by myself, says Yahweh, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that I will bless you greatly and I will multiply your offspring greatly like the stars of the heavens and like the sand which is on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the gate of his enemies. Listen to that. We'll talk about that another time. All the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my voice. You hear that? Now we got something else added to it. Now, we already talked about how faith is one of the prerequisites for receiving the blessing, right? But in addition to faith, guess what else? Obedience is the other factor. See, Abraham is known for his faith. You know, when you think about how Christians teach and they go to Brother Shaul's writings, they try to emphasize the faith aspect. And the faith aspect should be emphasized because it is important. But Brother Yaakov had to come along and say, hold up, man. I'm not saying faith ain't important, but guess what? The demons, they also believe. Did you catch what I said? The demons believe. Oh, you still didn't hear me. The demons have faith. Demons have faith. You understand? So he had to impress upon Israel by what we believe. Guess what else we got to do? He said, I don't want y'all to just come to service every week and sit down, listen, hear a good sermon, hear a good preaching, hear that good word, and then leave and just do what? Nothing. No. When we hear that word, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to leave and begin applying that word to our lives. Doesn't mean we're going to change automatically, but we at least have to start practicing it. Don't hear the word and then just go on about your way like you ain't heard nothing. No, you heard that word for a reason. Start applying that. What that mean? That means your mind has to start to adapt to the change. Start getting rid of anything that's in your heart and your mind that's contrary to that word and start replacing it with that word. That's what he means by that. But we have to do that gradually. I would know we ain't going to change automatically, but at least he wants us to put forth the genuine effort. Okay? He said, because you have obeyed my voice. Now, last passage. Devarim, this is Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is Brother Moshe, once again. He said, it shall happen if you shall listen diligently. Now, how this is spelled out in Hebrew, or in Hebrew, it says, Shemua Bishma. And basically, it's a play on the term Shema. It shall happen if you shall listen diligently to Yahweh, your mighty one's voice. And once again, let me reiterate, it must be Abba's voice we hear. Do we understand that? And it was mentioned a little earlier. You got various people out there teaching Abba's word, but they're not speaking Abba's voice. See? It's T.D. Jakes ministry. It's Joyce Meyer's ministry. You understand? That's whose word you're listening to. It's not Abba's voice. It's their voice. So what they have done, they have interpreted the word according to their ministry. That's not going to do it. But hold up, brother. I used to listen to this, and I used to listen to that, and I was able to come here to listen to what you just said. You listened to that, but you were able to get out of that and be brought to the truth. You belong to the Most High. You're going to realize something's not quite right there. You see? Something's not quite right. That's why people may leave. The opposite also happens. See, some people may disagree with what Abba's word says. And because it doesn't step right with their spirit, they feel as though they need to leave and find someplace else. You know, they need to find a God of their understanding. You understand? So it can go both ways. It's just that, one, you're coming from falsehood into the truth, and then the other, you're leaving the truth and you're going right back into the falsehood. Okay? But anyway, he said, this shall happen if you shall listen diligently to Yahweh, mighty one's voice, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you today, that Yahweh, your mighty one, will set you high above all the nations of the earth. He says, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you listen to Yahweh, your mighty one's voice. Now, I was going to go through to verse 14, but time will not allow me to do that. Last thing I'm going to leave you all with is the definition for this term, blessing, which is derived from the same term, barak, but the word is number 1293. It is barakah. It means benediction. It says by implication, prosperity. The general idea of this word one of good favor another. When we think about being blessed by the Most High, of course, we can look at it from the perspective of Abba's good favor being bestowed upon us. It says this may be expressed in the giving of a tangible gift. Sometimes Abba will give you physical blessings. That's not a problem. It says, or in the pronouncing of a verbal blessing. Most often, however, this word speaks of Elohim's favor on the righteous. And in order to be considered righteous, it implies we have to be doing what Abba says is right. All right? And what is that righteousness? As we already saw, it's his Torah. Are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternity, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are righteous and true? Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our power, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah! Abba, in the name of your Son, our Savior and our Redeemer, we give praise, glory, and honor to your holy and to your most precious name. And we thank you, Abba. We thank you for allowing us the opportunity to go through your word. And we ask you, Abba, to engrave upon our hearts, to engrave upon our minds, your word, that it helps each and every one of us individually to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We ask these things humbly and sincerely in Yahushua's holy and his most precious name. Hallelujah. Shalom, Mishpacha.
Ben einecha, uchtab stranger in a land that is not theirs. And they shall enslave and oppress them for 400 years. In the fourth and in the last generation. Yes, you shall journey into captivity a second time in ships. Because you have rejected his instructions.